Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Yeah, good morning, Moore State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. It's 7:06 on June 29th. And I'm joined today by somebody that's happier than he was yesterday, Bad Bob.
The healing process is taking place. You'll also notice that I took great pains. Yesterday I noticed that Mike Quinn has this exact same pattern, so I'm going to have to make sure that we are never seen in the same building at the same time with this pattern.
Well, frankly,
people will talk.
I think it's kind of cute, you two walking around dressed the same. Usually it's male, female type thing, or twins, but the fact that you two seem to dress and have the same
taste. We shop at the same cheap stores.
Hey, Linda's under the weather today and will not be with us, unfortunately, because my partner, I look over here
again?
To pull me. Yeah, she's just having a trauma with that. The thing is that your partner's there, and when you turn over, you look over there to have him rescue you, and she's not there, so I have to turn to Bob, and Bob a lot of times doesn't.
Oh, are you in trouble?
I know, he turns his back on me. Hey, the weather today, it's going to be a high of 98 degrees today, and right now it's about 67, but Bob just kind of moved temperatures right. 66 degrees right now. It's supposed to be 98 today. It's going to be sunny, arid heat with a high of 98. North-northwest winds between 5 and 10 miles an hour. They were blowing a little bit last night. The weather is always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards, our place to go, a great destination, great food, great ambiance out there. Things have happened here in our town. Things have happened at the national level. Today, our guest today this morning at 8 o'clock is going to be Rocky Chavez, the Undersecretary for California Veteran Affairs. We're going to be talking about what's going on at the state level and how it can affect us down here at our local levels with the budget and what it's doing to the veterans. And or any veteran projects we have. As you know, we started the veterans home. We've had the groundbreaking, and they've already started out there. I understand that they're making some good progress. And, of course, what's going on out at the cemetery with Maurice Johannesson's chapel or his warrior's retreat or his, I don't know, it's a place that,
politically
whatever you call it out there. But that's moving along also. So at least we have movement on both fronts. The one out at Igo should be finished sooner than later. It should be finished, I think, around September, October. We'll keep you up on that, though. I think it's a great effort by the senator, but also by the community here. Okay, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking, did the Supreme Court give a lot of people a good day yesterday by affirming what the Constitution says? Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire
Blame
Radio.
Blame it on McAfee.
KCNR, 1460. Bob's having a little problem with the computer again this morning. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. It is 7:13 in the morning. Phone line's here, 605-4567. Linda's not here today. It's a little lonely. Give me a call. KCNR1460.com is how we stream. Okay, yesterday, let's get into it. The Supreme Court affirmed the rights of Americans to own weapons, not just on federal property, but in the states and cities. That's the court essentially said state and local laws banning handguns, which precludes citizens from owning handguns for self-defense in a home, are too strict. The decision flows directly from the court's ruling in the 2008 case, District of Columbia versus Heller, which struck down Washington, D.C.'s blanket ban on handguns. While the case also addressed the meaning of the Second Amendment by affirming the right of citizens to own handguns, that one only applied to the federal level. Now, that was a huge one. Well, as soon as that happened, the NRA and other organizations sued Chicago because they had a ban on handguns for, 30 years, 20 years. This case, by the way, of the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment extends the same interpretation of the Second Amendment to state and local levels. Taken together, these rulings say that the Constitution bars various levels of government from banning handgun ownership. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Now, does it have a huge impact up here in Shasta County? No. You know, Shasta County, in many ways, has an enlightened viewpoint of owning weapons. However, the state of California and the legislature doesn't. So this is a big protection for us. And is it, you know, how is it going to affect you? If you were living in an area that says you couldn't own handguns or had restrictions on that, that affects you big time. Now, the Supreme Court ruling, addressed specifically gun laws in Chicago and Oak Park, Illinois. So they, you know, but other places will challenge it, and since it's already been viewed at the Supreme Court, it's not going to change. Those will change too. No, that doesn't. But does it mean that all restrictions are off though? No, I see. If you're going to be, if there's restrictions there already, they will probably stay in place unless you can find some onerous reason for them not to be, and then you can sue then. You know, you have to get a license. They're not going to change the fact that you have to come down. You have to be fingerprinted. You have to have your permission from the government. You still have to do a background check or any of that. The question is does the state have a right to ban certain type of weapons if you want that weapon? That, to me, is a good question. And the state, by saying you have to register all your weapons, your long guns, your pistols, and all that, does that hamper your ability to own a weapon? Does that put a chilling effect on your ability to own a weapon? Because now the state wants to know that. How about buying ammunition? You know, beginning next year, when you buy ammunition, you have had to have given a thumbprint for any type of ammunition that can be shot at a pistol. And that includes .22 ammunition, the most commonly bought type of ammunition, because everybody shoots .22s and they have a great time. It's a good way to teach your kids, teach people how to shoot, and they're treating it like they would, you know, a criminal substance. Well, no, that's not true either, because you can go buy a federally banned substance. You don't have to give thumbprints and those kind of things as you buy your marijuana, which leads us into other things. But let's finish up here on the Second Amendment. So stand up today and cheer, because today the Supreme Court just affirmed. They didn't extend rights. They didn't do things like that. They reaffirmed your right as a citizen that under the Constitution you can possess and bear arms. And that is so huge. It doesn't mean, though, that you can purchase any kind of gun you want, because they have that, you know, they have their little rulings. I don't personally agree with that. To me, if you're a law-abiding citizen, if you want to buy a 50 caliber rifle to shoot, why can't you do it? It doesn't mean felons can purchase guns. Nothing's changed there. And as far as carrying weapons in public, well, you know, the state of California has already addressed that one. So that, my friends, is a, you know, it's, you think, well, this is in the Constitution. It should be given to us. Why are people getting so excited about it? Because, you know, you just can't tell anymore. You can't tell that somebody says, oh, here's the ramifications of this. When you have politicians saying the Constitution's a living document, when you have, you know, when you have people saying that, oh, you know, we have to take the right of you just to go out and buy a little box of ammunition away from you. See, we're into this control thing. It's not weapons, it's control. They want to control what you do. And the only way you stop that is being involved, you know, and pushing back, getting groups together, you know, trying to vote people out, you join organizations that think like you do, and you stand up for your rights. That's what you have to do. You can't let people and organizations and the government just roll over you. And we're going to be talking about some of those things. Something big, you know, we're going to take a quick break here, but one of the things that's just happened is a court in Orange County has just struck a blow for freedom. And it's a kind of a funny way of doing it. Join me after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
I like to dream.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. It's 7:23 in the morning. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, it's a great tobacco and porn, but it also has Espresso Joe's there that has 30 or 40 different types of coffee that they fix 60 or 70 different ways, so that gives you a geometric number of somewhere into the trillions. No, and not the type of trillions that the government is investing in our deficit. This is other types of trillions. Also, Joe and Shelley provide a great place to meet. They've got a room there, a community room, free Wi-Fi and all that. And for Thursday, from 6 to 8, we're having a veterans organization meeting there. Not an organization, it's just a barbecue. So on Thursday, from 6 to 8, in the back lot there, or behind Tobacco and Brew, veterans are meeting and having a barbecue. It's Missing in America Project, a Patriot Guard Riders, the Old Guard Riders, and if you're a veteran, just come on down and say hello. Just come on down, say, meet and greet your friends. And if they've served with you, this band of brothers, then they are your friends. Okay, what had happened? What did Orange County do to strike down onerous regulations and give of freedoms back to the people? Bob, do you know what? Don't tell
me. I missed that one.
Okay. An appellate panel of judges in Orange County ruled that red light camera photos and videos were hearsay and inadmissible in court. Okay, sound of applause back here. That's the crowd cheering. The defendant challenged a ticket he had gotten in 2008 in Santa Ana. And his Huntington Beach attorney, Bayless, argued the video and photos of the Redflex traffic systems camera had taken weren't admissible in court because an officer didn't see the crime occur and the company didn't send a rep to be cross-examined. Yeah, so they said, the court says, well, you know what? This is just hearsay. This is, you know, if they're not going to come down and send somebody, then it doesn't work. Well, you know, we have 5 Redflex cameras in Redding. Did you know that? 5.
I have some mixed feelings on this one.
Well, now, taxpayers pay around $30,000 a year for part-time officers to review the cameras, videos, and photos. You know, so we're paying people, and these are retired officers, and they come in there and they look at the at the views of cars running through there, and they take those photos. Now, when you're caught, Bob, and the numerous times you've been caught in those red light photos, do you make, like, faces at the camera? So when they send it to you, you know, they do have, like, awards for the best face.
No, I'm just thinking because I came within 2 feet of a collision because some idiot was on the cell phone and ran the red light, and it was a near thing. And I'm got mixed feelings on it. I think the cameras are an intrusion, but something's got to get these people's attention.
Well, we're going to talk about that. See, every one of these, when you get caught by one of these light cameras, and they're up on Lake, and they're down here on Pine, and there's 5 of them around town someplace, that it goes to Redflex for a preliminary review, and only the cases that Redflex officials deem to be provable are sent to Redding. And this is reporting out of the Record Searchlight, by the way. Okay, the part-time officers will issue the final citation. And so that's when you get a letter in the mail with a photo of the alleged violation, and then you can watch a video of it, too. You know, it used to be that they'd give a photo of the whole front seat, and that changed dramatically after they had taken a photo of a whole front seat and sent it to a person's house, and as it turns out that the woman in the front seat next to the man was not the man's wife. So that drastically altered the way that they send the photos out. Yeah, they, you know, they put a black, you know, they black out half of the screen. We're paying the company $200,000 a year in fees before the city makes a dollar. But here's the best part, if you're looking at it like that, is they don't make $200,000, and they, you know, we don't have to pay it. In other words, they're making their money off fees. We haven't made, and the city of Redding has not made 1 cent on red lights, on the red light photo opportunity here. But a Shasta grand jury report last year said that the cameras reduced collisions by 48% in the first half of 2008 at the intersections of which they're involved. Now, installed. I'm sorry. Here's the thing about it. Red light cameras. If that $200,000, let's just say, okay, if it doesn't make $200,000, but what if it makes $150,000? If we put police there at the lights or running those, would we gather that $150,000, or would it just really be eaten up by the time it takes to, to be writing the tickets, to be chasing them down, not get as many of them? Then you have to go to court. The officer has to go to court for red lights. From what I understand is that if you go in there and you plead your case to the judge, even if it's that there was an alien chasing me through the light, that you can get your fine reduced by half. So I don't know if it to me a red light, a photo opportunity at a red light just doesn't seem right. It seems like it's we're taking it into the part where we're taking people out of these things. If you're having problems with is the next step putting cameras along the streets and then getting people for jaywalking? I know that sounds out there, but could that be something?
Great Britain has more cameras per capita than anyone else, and
they've got cameras everywhere.
Is saying he's going to cut that stuff back. The new prime minister over there says he wants to cut back on those cameras.
Well, those cameras are also the ways they trap terrorists down, too, if I understand right. But you're right. We don't have that kind of coverage here. But what about cameras someplace else that catches you doing things? I mean, they've got cameras in stores when you're walking around there. They've got security cameras there. How many times have you been running through the dollar store and you see those cameras? Okay, maybe, Bob, you don't go to the dollar store. All right. No, but what about cameras on other types of intersections? What about cameras along the streets to see if people are doing things that could be wrong? What about a high crime area because we're having all this problem with gangs, which we want to talk about, too, later on? Why don't you have cameras there? So if you've got a house that's, it's got gang activity, you put a camera out there, and they know there's a camera out there watching them. Does that save time? Do you route everything back to one camera area? To one area that, like a operations center, so you've got cameras all over so you can see what's going on? And would that cut back on the amount of police you have out there? Or are we getting into, like, Big Brother there? Now we've got cameras looking at us.
I would point out that a lot of people are concerned about the cameras you see mounted on the next to the traffic lights. Those are not traffic observation cameras. Those are actually sensors that, rather than dig up the street and bury a wire, those tell the computer if there is an object in its very narrow field of view. So those cameras are not used for observation. They're not even tied in.
Well,
they're machine view.
That's fine. But the point is there are places that do have cameras. They have them on the corners. If you look on when they had the explosion in Times Square, they had cameras out there in Times Square filming everything or videotaping everything. So does the idea, though, of having cameras in different spots in the city to help cut down on crime, because we are cutting back on people, we are cutting back on police, we are cutting back on our budgets, is this a way to help take care of that, is cameras? If it's working 48% at stoplights, would it cut crime down in some areas? Do you want cameras sitting in various spots in this city that you don't know about, videotaping what you're doing? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. We'll address this question and others when we come back from this break. You just gotta like that walk of life. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It is 7:35 in the morning. It's going to be 98 degrees today, my friends. 98, and it's currently 68 degrees. And we are moving up quickly. In fact, 68, that was 68 5 minutes ago. We're now 71 degrees, and we're climbing fast. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellites out on Airport Road, just right down from the Burrito Bandito. They've been in the business. It's a local owner, Doug Tooley. They've been in the business since 1985. 82nd Airborne veteran, guarantees his work. The people that go to Doug, we've had phone calls from people that have used Doug and B&T Satellite saying what a great experience it has. If you're looking for that home theater, if you're looking for that change, something that's cheaper than other types of services that give you TV and other types of services. If you're looking for something new, if you're looking for something that's for someone that stands behind his work, it's B&T Satellite and Doug Tooley. His phone number is 244-1988. Again, off Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito, you'll see those little satellites in front of his business. Great guy. Go visit him. Okay, you know, we've got let's go to Charles on line one. Charles, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Yeah, good morning.
So, yeah, Charles, are you upset about cameras?
I don't like them at all. I remember what you said about the photograph of the man and the woman, not his wife.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it gives a new meaning to the term red light district, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure it was perfectly innocent. Just the fact it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and okay, let's keep going.
Well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, I doubt seriously if he was trying to get a head start on his good deed for the day.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, anyway, that's not the reason I called. It's the reason I called is that digital license plate bill
we talked about
this morning.
What about the digital license plate bill?
One word to describe it is insane.
Uh-huh. And why is that?
Well, in the first place, we're talking about sequestering resources to study this thing at a time when the state's going broke, you know, a la, you know, Greece.
I can't wait for the riots to start in L.A. because the aid to dependent drug users has been cut off.
Yeah. And additionally, these things are, you know, according to the Senate analysis of them, can be web accessible, which means these things can be hacked into. Imagine if somebody were to put a stolen license number on your license plate just as a cop sees your car.
Yeah.
I mean, under that scenario, a person can be arrested for something that was entirely not his fault.
You know, personally, anything that has to do with computers or anything that has to do with your life like this, they can be hacked into. So why would we want to go and do something like this? I mean, you're right. You're perfectly right. Here we are, $20 billion down in a deficit here, and we're spending money on this. I don't understand.
Yeah. And
this
web control module, I understand, is something that would be mounted on or near the dashboard. And here we are contemplating this at a time when we're contemplating requiring hands-free devices for bicycles.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, imagine somebody surfing the web to look for whatever they want to either include or exclude from their license plate, and all of a sudden they, you know, crash into somebody and,
you know, the
corner of their bumper happens to hit some little kid in a restraint seat.
Well, you know, Charles, it's other things we talk about. It's control again. It's control from the government. It's control. It's not the individual things like guns or license plates. It's a control. It's, you know.
Exactly.
It's a control freakish type thing that goes on with governments. And it's, you know, and it starts right there in Obama's seat, and it's working its way down.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that here's what we can do. We can change that at the city, in the county, and even the state level, but especially the city and county. We can change and get rid of that control by the way we vote and the people we support. So, hey, Charles, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Mm-hmm. All right. Goodbye.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. Then we come back. We have our guest, Trish Strawn, and we're going to be talking about Anderson exploding.
Yep.
Anderson's going to explode?
Yes, on July 3rd.
Get a little bit closer there, and maybe we can talk Bob into turning on your microphone. Okay. It's going to explode.
Yes, on July 3rd.
I mean, is it going to be like all of Anderson or just part of
just
Anderson?
Just the fairgrounds.
Just the fairgrounds. Okay, you had me worried there for a second.
But you can view it all over Anderson.
It's 7:41. We're going to take a break. This is Carl in the Bot, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. It's Carl in the Botter. Phone lines here, 605-4567. 72 degrees. It's going to be 98 today. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Wind's going to be blowing, but not that bad. Hey, our guest today is Trish Strawn. And Trish is going to blow up Anderson.
That's right, yes.
You little terrorist, you. You little right-wing terrorist.
That's us, all right.
That's right. Tell us what's going on, Trish.
Well, it's our it's the 4th of July celebration out in Anderson. We have it on July 3rd, the night before the 4th, at the fairgrounds.
So people can sleep in and you have a chance to find your family the next day after all the fireworks, right?
Exactly. Actually, it's a wonderful event. It's a family event. It's held at the fairgrounds. The gates open at 4 o'clock. It's a free event. We have auto racing in conjunction with the fireworks, or auto racing before the fireworks, obviously. And there's a charge to go to the racing. And then along with the event, we have the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but...
Bob's over there drooling on his shirt.
Bob knows all about it.
It is a carnivore delight.
Yes, it is. It is...
Is this all those little animals they've been raising all year?
It is. It is.
Our people, different form.
Yeah, people go to the fair and they buy the kids' animals from the auction and they donate it to the community barbecue and then it's cooked up so people can come down $10 donation and have beef, lamb, pork, and I think there's some goats.
It's all you can, and if you walk away from this thing hungry, it is your own fault.
Yes, and they have corn on the cob and coleslaw, and then the money that's raised goes back to the 4-H and FFA chapters and clubs. So it's a great way to raise money because they're like everybody else. They've lost funding, and this is just a nice way to do it. And it's been going on for 6 years. Wonderful event. It's just...
Okay, so now you get in free into the fairgrounds.
Yes, you do.
It's a $10 donation to eat the barbecue.
Yes, and if you don't want it...
You probably lose money on Bob, right?
Well, I don't know. Okay. I'll have to watch for Bob this year. But if you don't want to participate in a barbecue, you don't have to. We have other food out there, like hot dogs from the Boy Scouts and stuff.
And those are all vendors that you can buy. And, again, it's supporting our local community.
Yes, it is.
And then you also have car racing that night.
Yes, we do.
But that they have to pay to get into
the
car
racing.
That's
an extra charge, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so where do you sit when you're watching the fireworks?
Well, you can sit just about anywhere. You can sit on the carnival lot out there after the auto racing's done and before the fireworks start. We open up the racetrack so people can go into the infield and sit up there.
Right.
Our fireworks company loves our show. They call it the Intimate Sky Concert because you're right under the fireworks, and it's just a very, very nice event. And we have a lot of great sponsors that we want to acknowledge.
Sure.
The District Fair, Anderson Valley Post, Wind River Casino, Roberts R. Robert Foundation, North Valley Bank, Premier West Bank, Walmart, Apex Fencing, Prime 11 Cinemas, and Sierra Pacific Industries. But
well, if you come by here early next year, you can put us on there too.
Okay,
we're glad to put this word out via public service announcements. Let people know about this and spread throughout the North State.
Well, and the nice thing about Anderson Explodes, it's a committee made up of about 20 people, and we go out and we raise our money for the fireworks. We don't get money from the city or any other foundations. We
appreciate for you.
Yeah, we appreciate our sponsors. We love them. That's great help to us, but we're out there year-round. We have about three big fundraisers, and we have to raise about $50,000 to have a nice fireworks show.
Oh, yeah. It's not cheap. Not throwing out an M80 out there and watching it go off.
No, not at all. But it's a great event. It's just a real nice family atmosphere, and people come out. They bring their lawn chairs, bring your blankets, sit out on the carnival lot, and then if you want to go out into the infield, it's a great place to watch fireworks. And
it sounds like a great time.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. We just have a blast doing this thing. Pardon the pun. But July 3rd at the fairgrounds.
Who puts on the fireworks, do you know? Is that the guy that used to work out of Hayfork out there?
Well, I think they bought the company.
Or they bought it from him, right?
Yes. And these
Boom Boom or whatever.
Yeah, that was the name of it. But but these guys are out of Sacramento, and they're great. They put a wonderful show.
Yeah, I think
they're
the same ones that do the one for Reading.
Yes,
too.
It is. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is community at its best.
Yes, it is.
And this is community at its best that you go out, you raise the money, you don't take it out of the general fund.
Right.
You raised money while you're doing this to help out the organizations, the youth organizations right here in the area, and you provide a safe place for people to have a great time and watch fireworks on that 4th of July weekend.
Yes, we do.
You know, I applaud you, and I ring the bell.
Thank you.
Okay, we don't ring that bell very often.
Oh, okay.
Most of the time it's by accident when I hit it with my head. But when we do ring the bell, that means a lot. Okay, well, Trish, thank you so much. Is there anything else you need to talk to us about
on
this?
No, just please come on down and watch for our fundraisers throughout the year. We have two big Bunko games. I don't know if anybody, your wives probably know about Bunko, and it's a lot of fun.
You need to let us know when you have these fundraisers.
We will. We'll be in talking
to you. We will push those also because it sounds great.
Good.
Okay, well, thank you so
much
for coming
by. Thank you for having us.
Oh, well, you know what?
Happy 4th of July.
Well, you know, it's going to be a great 4th of July.
Yes, it is.
You know, Linda's father, it's his birthday. And so we're going to head down for that to celebrate his birthday. He's 78 years old.
Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, or 79. So, of course, he won't tell me because, you know, he's pretty active. So, half the time I'm guessing he's 68 or something like that. But he says no.
Wonderful.
All right, Trish, thank you so much. We're
going to
take a quick break here. You know, Bob is still... He's still writing things like barbecue. Yeah, okay. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly, News Talk Radio. You ask, I deliver. Yeah! Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl on the Bot, it is 7:54 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. Linda has, you know, these allergies. She's going to send her to the doctor today to take care of these things. Because this is just getting to be, you hate it when somebody you love is sitting there just in agony. And pushing these inhalers up her nose and she can't breathe, and she's blowing her nose all the time. And then, of course, Elk Killer grabs the tissues and runs through the house with them, shredding them. We must have 12 pounds, 12 pounds of Kleenex strewn around the house, strewn, because Elk Killer grabs it and runs with it. You know, frankly, after chasing her for like an hour, I get worn out. So what I do is I turn off the air conditioning in that part of the house and make her sweat while she rips up the... Well, it doesn't work that well. Okay, what do we want to talk about here? Our guest in the next hour is going to be Rocky Chavez, Undersecretary of Veterans Affairs for California. But how about this? General McChrystal is going to retire from the U.S. Army. He made it official. You know, he just got fired last week by Obama. The fact that Obama made a decision about anything was quite surprising. But okay, but he didn't have much of a choice since McChrystal had resigned and said, you know what, this ain't going to change. Anyway, I was sent, and thanks, Terry, for sending me the article in the Rolling Stone. And you know what? There are things you need to read that article, because things that you saw, you know, headlined across the country didn't exactly happen. You know, like, you know, in one part it was like, just picture if this happened. Not that it did happen. Picture if this happened. But there were enough things said. You know, the part about Biden, a group of men that were joking around. Hey, what about this press conference that McChrystal was getting ready to do? And he said, well, what if he asked this? And if somebody said that, it wasn't him. It wasn't like it was said on, you know, out there to embarrass, you know, Biden, the vice president. I mean, you don't have to embarrass Joe Biden. He does it himself most of the time. You know, with the things that he says. Who can forget what Biden said about what a great how big this thing was, talking about the health care plan. Of course, he described the word big, somewhat like a Marine would. Anyway, the California NAACP appears to be backing pot legislation. They're saying it's because that police use this law against marijuana to harass members of the black community. So they're titled Targeting Blacks for Marijuana. The study uses county arrest statistics to show a higher rate of marijuana possession arrest among African Americans. So the California NAACP is backing the pot legislation. You know, you want to talk about pot legislation, and we're going to do that. We're going to talk about it tomorrow, because tomorrow our guest, Roger Yeagle, from Trinity County. His district just happens. He's a county supervisor. His district just happens to have Hayfork in the middle of it. So you want to talk about pot, marijuana legalization, and what it can do to your community, and what it can do to the surrounding territory? Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking to Roger and let him tell you what's happened up there in Trinity County. The county just to the west of us that's got beautiful, you know, Trinity Alps, rivers, it's got it all. The Trinity River, it's fishing, it's hunting, it's hiking. It's also dogs on the loose, walled areas, people with guns that are shooting them, destruction of the environment, wholesale dumping of chemicals into creeks that flow down into our rivers because they want to use fertilizer on their marijuana plantations. So before, you got to be careful about what you ask for. You know, again, this is not an indictment against medical marijuana. You know, not an indictment against medical marijuana. People that use medical marijuana the way it should be used, you know what? You don't need my blessing, but you've got it. I don't care. If it works for you, if it's done medicinally, that's fine. I have nothing against that, you know, because I know people that use it and it works for them. I know people that takes the place of pharmaceuticals that have harmed them in the past. All right? So that's got nothing to do with that, my friends. Just put that aside. This has to do with destruction of the environment, destruction of our civil society because of people wanting profit, and they will do anything for profit. So when we start talking about the legalization of marijuana, let's look at the whole thing this time instead of, oh, what about my grandmother that needs to smoke a little marijuana to help take care of her arthritis? It goes well beyond that. We talk law of unintended consequences, my friends, and let me tell you something. Our legislators don't think past the end of their noses or wherever the dollar bill is in front of them. That's the problem. If you're going to do something like this, think of all the ramifications. Cameron Middleton said when we got down there at Turtle Bay and down there by the Civic Center, that's a lot of property down there. He proposed that we have actually think ahead and put together a city planning commission and a city group that will look at how to use that property and look at all the ramifications of it. Why isn't the assembly, why aren't our legislators doing that when it comes to this marijuana question? And now we have a lawless element in Trinity County that's terrifying residents who have lived there for years, decades, because some people didn't look at the ramifications of, oh, getting granny a joint to help her arthritis. But then again, that's just my opinion. Our guest in the next hour will be Rocky Chavez, who is the Undersecretary of Veterans Affairs for the state of California. And I've got a lot of questions for him. I hope you have a lot of questions for him. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Ready.
KCNR Shasta Ready.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. It is 8:06 in the morning. It's going to be 98 degrees today. It's 74. You know, we started at 68 this morning. So we're up to 74 in a little bit over an hour. It's going to be a bright, sunny day. Don't leave your dogs and kids in the car. Even if you run in for just a minute, they could be severely hurt by heat in the car when it gets up like that. Hey, the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination. Great place to eat. Great ambiance. Anselmo Vineyards, just a little drive out of Redding. You know, today we have as our guest the Undersecretary for California Veterans Affairs, Rocky Chavez. Rocky.
How you doing?
Good morning.
It's a nice day for another couple hours where it gets a little warm.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're looking at 96 or 98 today. I think 98. So.
Yeah, it's that time of the year.
Well, you know, Rocky, there's, I don't know if we got a chance to meet the other day when we were down in Sacramento, but the, what's going, you know, right now with all the budget cuts, with everything that's going on in the state of California, do you see that, how does that impact on Veterans Affairs?
Well, it does have an impact. It has an impact on government all around, but it, but it comes to an issue of priorities. And Governor Schwarzenegger has made a promise to the veterans of the state of California who are returning from the Afghanistan and Iraq that California would welcome them back. And even with these tough budget times, he's found the leadership and has put the priority on it to support the veterans, in particular with Operation Welcome Home.
And would you tell our listeners what Operation Welcome Home is?
Sure. Operation Welcome Home is a plan to reach the 30,000 veterans that return to California every year. And we contact them not once, but four times to make sure that they're being taken care of, that see if they have an issue with being in employment, see if there's any health issues, ensure they know about their GI benefits to go back to school. And this is a partnership between EDD and Veterans Affairs and Cal Volunteers. So the governor put together a number of organizations within the state to ensure that each veteran, the 30,000 veterans returning, each one of them are contacted not once but four times.
And you get the names from each service? Do they send them to you?
Well, you know, we've instituted a program called, it's a little sheet, and so if you're a veteran, listen to me, you can go to our website, CalVet, and you can enter your name and you can highlight what your issues are, be it education, employment, health care, whatever. There are a number of choices of blocks, and within a minute you'll get a response from our department telling you the up-to-date information for any of your concerns. And so we're asked, when people leave the service, they're filling out these forms and we're able to track them. And there's a lot of people who may have got out already that aren't aware of this. Maybe you got out a year ago or you got out 10 years ago. You can still go to our website, CalVet, and you can still tag on it and we can get the information to you.
And that's for any veteran from at any time, is that correct?
That's exactly right. Though this is a Operation Welcome Home is focusing on the Afghan and Iraq. We also want to let every veteran who served in Vietnam, who served in Korea, who served in World War II, who served in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, or served just at any time, that if they have any questions about their benefits, to go to our website and get on our website, we can take care of you.
Great. Okay, Rocky, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to let you introduce yourself to the people of the show, that you're just not another pretty face sitting up there in Sacramento.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Now, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:13 in the morning. It's about 82 degrees, I think. I'm sorry, 74 degrees today. You know, it's for me, weather's an area weapon. It's going to be 98 today. It's going to be clear, and it's going to be hot. And if you'd stop hiding the weather from me, Bob, I will not reach over there and smack you on the side of the head. You do it again.
You have weather or music?
Anyway, and you didn't even have your microphone turned on. Okay, weather or music, we'll do both. Hey, our guest today is Rocky Chavez, Undersecretary for the California Veterans Affairs. And can I say Semper Fi there, Marine?
Oh, please do. I didn't know you were in the Corps also.
You know what? After 30 years, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to stay or go, you know, that kind of thing. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to be where you're at?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm a Marine, served in the Corps for 28 years, born and raised in California, graduate of Chico State there north, so know the area well, and served all over the world, enjoyed it. My father was a Marine in World War II in Tarawa and Okinawa and Iwo Jima, and my cousins were Marines. My brother was Air Force. My daughter married a Marine, and my son's currently Lieutenant Commander of the Navy, and my other son went into the Coast Guard.
Wow.
So we're kind of a veteran family.
Yeah. So, you know, the one that was in the Air Force, did everybody kind of, when everybody gets together, kind of just look at him?
Yeah, we did. We always thought he was a little strange.
Okay.
But, you know, not really, but I love all services. You're not going to get me in trouble there.
Buddy. No. Hey, look, I'm just kidding. You know, anybody that stands and serves our country is a hero, I'm concerned.
That's right.
You know, okay, you know, we talked about the Welcome Home for the veterans. and that how, you know, now the veterans can go to what specific areas, you know, there if they want to talk to somebody besides just a phone call or something, or are those places set up yet?
Actually, you know, if you go to the CalVet, just Google in CALVET, CalVet, uh-huh. fill out that form, we're not just going to contact you, we're going to have a person visit you.
Okay.
So it's eyeball to eyeball. And so it's not just one time, but we'll do it four times to make sure they're taken care of.
Well, what's the response been so far, Rocky?
It's been really good. People are surprised. There's been a lot of good testimonials. You know, we're doing a thing like, just like we did in Reading a few weeks ago. We call it an all hands, where we come out to communities and try to let everybody know the different benefits. A lot of people confuse the California Department of Veteran Affairs with the federal VA. We're not the federal VA. As I like to tell people, we're the advocates. If they got a problem with the VA or with the services, DOD, we're their advocates. And we know the system, and we can help solve the problems there for them. That's our job.
So you're just going to help them move it through the system?
Yep, and that's, you know, we can make the phone calls. And sometimes, you know how it is, you get in a bureaucracy, you get on hold, you get pushed to somebody else. And our job is to, you know, there's over 2,000 employees in the California Department of Veteran Affairs. And we take care of home loans, we take care of retirement homes, we take care of property loans, and we also do services. So there's a lot of different benefits that a lot of California veterans aren't aware of. One of the best programs in the nation.
If you retire from the military in California, if you're a California resident, you retire, do your children get some kind of break on school and those things?
Sure. My kids were all grown by the time I retired, but they could actually get a break getting into an education. And as you know, education is probably the most critical element to get kids into, you know, into higher economy.
Yeah.
And so not just their kids, but spouses. And one of the good things out there right now, recently passed, let's say you're a veteran and you have some medical needs, you're a senior, and your wife wants to take care of you, there's also benefits payment for her to, stipend to help take care of you.
Now, is that through California or the feds?
That's through the feds, but we can help you get the payment for that.
Right.
We have what we call veteran service officers.
Right.
There's 58 counties within the state. 54. We have 54 county veteran service officers that can put in your claim and walk the process through to get you your benefits.
Yeah, our veteran services officer up here. Everyone that I've come in contact with have just been great.
You're very unique in the Reading. You know, I've been up there about five times in the past 4 months, and you have a great support structure. You know, you got your supervisor, Linda Hartman, and, you know, Mayor Pat Jones, and council member out at Anderson, Norma Komnick.
Right.
And you've got a lot of good political support, and, of course, you have, Momo, your senator out there, who's just amazing.
Maurice Johannesson. Jim Nielsen has done a lot, I believe, to help with the veterans. But, you know, it's people that are down, you know, it's the different organizations around here, too, that also support veterans. You know, the AMVETS, the, Patriot Guard Riders, Missing America Project, and VFW, Purple Heart. The whole thing is that everybody here has the idea of assisting veterans. And I think that pays off in a county like ours.
Well, it totally does. You know, I go around all the state, and there's a lot of good people around the state, but in Reading, you have a very veteran-friendly community.
Well,
I mean, you look at Reading. Reading is the only place in the state where you have a veteran home going up. It's going to be an $88 million investment that's being built, their 160,000 square foot facility. You have one of the few California veteran cemeteries, which is just beautiful up there in Igo. And you have one of our district offices up there for CalVet loans. I mean, Reading has a lot of components that a lot of other communities don't nearly have. So you got a good place to live.
That didn't happen by accident either. That was just there was a lot of work from the people up here that wanted it there, and the support from the governor and CalVets over the years. We're going to have to take a quick break. And, Rocky, when I come back, you know, we're talking about, you know, how businesses are suffering, and these young men, or not so young men, but the warriors that are returning, they may want to start businesses up, and the types of help that the California government can give them. And I'd like to discuss that when we come back.
Okay.
All right. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
The truck.
Oh, that's a peppy song. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is under the weather. You know, these whatever's blowing around in this wind is knocking her for a loop. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off Airport Road, Doug Tooley. We're talking veterans. Doug is a veteran of the 82nd Airborne. They've been serving local customers since 1985. Great work. Get your satellite dish. Get it from Doug. He guarantees his work. You know, we've had nothing but accolades from people that have called in or emailed us about Doug. His phone number there is 244-1988. 244-1988. Go down Airport Road, just down from the Burrito Bandito, and find those satellites. Our guest is Rocky Chavez, who is the Undersecretary for California Government or Veterans Affairs. Rocky, good morning. Fine. Hey, you know, Rocky, we were talking about when we left about, you know, different programs that are coming in. During the break, we talked a little bit. There are new programs that have started under the veterans.
That's correct. One of the ones we're really excited about is the Native American outreach. It's California. Governor Schwarzenegger appointed Pete Molino. He's the first Assistant Secretary for Native American Veterans in the entire nation. And I've been talking to other states, and they want to follow behind suit and see how we're doing it. Because we know Native Americans are one of the most decorated populations in the country, minorities.
Uh-huh.
And they have some unique needs living in the different environments. And we're doing an outreach to them to make sure that they get their compensation and their benefits. And so we're pretty excited about this new program, and we're especially up in your area meeting with some of the different tribes.
Yeah, you know, the Native Americans have always stood strong in the armed services and for this country. And, you know, it's a sad commentary if we couldn't take care of them just as we do our other veterans and for everything that they've done. I mean, it should be no different. And even though that sometimes when we realize that, well, you know, being in the Marines, we have a special relationship with the Navajo Nation, with the Code Talkers. And they come in and they serve very well. They serve outstanding for 4 years. Many of them get out and go back to the reservation. That we just want to continue to be able to give that support. You've got something also for, you know, that we've got on for women veterans.
Yeah, we do. As women have really increased their role within the military, right now active duty force, about 15% of them are women, and the numbers are in the mid-20s for Guard, National Guard, and Reserves for the Army for women. And as and the way the battle is, the battlefield now in Afghanistan, Iraq, is not a something like World War II. We have clear lines, you know, lines of departure. Pretty much everybody's exposed to some sort of warfare, and a lot of women have some special needs that need to be met with PTSD and traumatic brain injury, and also looking at some of the sexual trauma issues that have happened in the services. So we're doing a very large outreach to them. In fact, we have an event October 7th and 8th. It's our state conference on women issues in Clovis, California, down in Fresno. And so that's also on our CalVet website. They can get more information on it, or they can call 653-2551, and that's 653-2551. They can get more information on how to find out about our conference for women.
Well, we're going to put the we'll put the website up anyway on our website as a link, so they can get to that easier. You're right. You know, people don't realize that. Well, you know, I don't know if that's true anymore, Rocky. I think people do realize that women are in the thick of it over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've seen too many photos of women who have had severe injuries from IEDs and from combat, that it is a completely different war. You can say they're non-combatants, but that's not true. They're running machine guns on top of Humvees. They're escorting convoys. They may not be in an infantry unit, but they are as close as you can get to being, you know, with the infantry in support of them.
You're exactly right. You know, but I was at a conference last week, and one of the gentlemen came up and said, why are you guys always trying to divide people? And then I said, well, let's listen to the presentation. And he listened to the presentation, and then he came back and said, and this speaks well of him. He said, you know what, I had no idea women were the knees they needed. He goes, and he was a commander of one of the veterans organizations. He said, get the information to me. I want to get it out to my group. So you and I may recognize that, but there's still some groups out there that haven't really got on board with it. So it's an important issue that these veterans have served, and we, as I always tell everybody, if you're a veteran, our job is to take care of you. That's our main deal.
Okay, well, the amount of, you know, kind of switching gears a little bit, but kind of along the same line. We got a couple minutes before we take a break, so let's kind of get into this. Is post-traumatic stress. It seems like we're seeing a lot of headlines that we have so many of our warriors coming back with post-traumatic stress. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, the numbers go between 1 in 8 and 1 in 5 that veterans coming back are experiencing that. As you know, post-traumatic stress is not something new. It's happened during the Vietnam, it happened in World War II, it happened in the Civil War. It's when, you know, war is an unnatural occurrence. Anytime you get in hand-to-hand combat and you go through those sorts of experiences, it lives with you. And we're addressing it. That's why it's so important to find out where all the veterans are. In fact, later on today, at 10 o'clock today, I have a conversation. I'm on a conference call with the Department of Defense and VA on what I call the battle handoff. I want to ensure that when military... We do a very good job making civilians into military in the DOD. What we don't do a really good job is making military into civilians. And that's where we want to do the handoff, what they call a transition assistance program, TAP, that we want to be more involved and make sure that no veteran falls between the crack and comes back and gets involved in alcohol or drugs or unemployment or out in the streets or trouble with the police. We want to make sure that they're taken care of.
Well, when I went through the transition assistance program, we've got like 30 seconds, so we're going to we'll follow that when we come back on the other side. Our guest today is Rocky Chavez, who is the Undersecretary for California Veterans Affairs. We've been talking about all things veteran here for the last 20 minutes. We're going to follow this up with a few more questions. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, Clear News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire. Theme, not an intro theme.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Bob, you're doing such a great job today. This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. You know, Linda's down hard today with allergies. Like, you cannot believe, you know, she's on fact probably on her way to the doctor to try and get that fixed. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you today by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, on Athens Avenue, Tim DC and the Man in Black. They're the ones that cut your hair. They do it at a great price. You're not going to see hair gel in there. If you want a military cut, that's the place to go to. If you want your hair cut a little bit longer, they do that too. But what they don't do, they don't style. They cut hair. They'll shave around the back of your neck. Not your face, but around the back of your neck. It's things that you don't usually see. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. Our guest today is Rocky Chavez, who is the Undersecretary for the California Veterans Department. Good morning, Rocky.
Good morning.
I probably just, you know, if you come up here, Rocky, you know, it's a great place to go to and hang out at the Cypress Square Barbershop. You know, all the recruiters hang out there, you know, police go down and get their hair cut, you know, all those veterans, so it's a great place.
Good, I'll bring a cigar.
Yeah, there you go. And for that, we go to Tobacco and Brew.
Okay.
You'll hear that one later on. You'll hear Tobacco and Brew later on. So,
okay.
Hey, okay, now we were talking about post-traumatic stress. We want to finish up on this one before we go to another subject. Post-traumatic stress, 1 in 5, 1 in 8. Now, what's the state of California doing?
Well, post-traumatic stress is a real issue. It's a medical issue. It's not something made up. You know, the problem with it is that you can't see it. You know, if a you know, I live in Oceanside, and when you see a young Marine, you know, with a prosthetic, missing an arm or a leg, or their body's burnt, you know, you can see that. But post-traumatic stress syndrome is a damage in the brain. It affects how they act. A lot of times, being tough Marines, they're not going to, or soldiers or airmen, they're not going to own up to it. They're going to say, I'm 22, I'm 24, you know, I'll just deal with it. And they can't. And then they start sometimes self-medicating through alcohol or drugs, and which leads into sometimes trouble with the police or their families, and just turns them, it gets them in a bad situation. So it's a real issue, it's a real illness, and but there are cures to it. There's ways to deal with it, and so we just need to identify them and get them the help they need.
I think that people, I think part of it is that people are ashamed to think, and I say use the word ashamed, and that's the wrong word, but I think that's how they feel, is that I can't handle it, and all these other guys are, and I must be different, I must be weak. And in reality, that's not it at all.
You're exactly right. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's just like I mentioned earlier, the guy with the missing arm and leg. A lot of times, because of the equipment we're having right now and those deadly IEDs, we have equipment now that, you know, can hit an IED, be flipped upside down, and the military still survive. But inside, the brain's been damaged. It's a concussion. And that's traumatic brain injury, which
right.
also has problems that needs to be dealt with. So it's a real illness. It does have an impact. It hinders their ability to live the American dream. And we want to make sure all these people who have fought for the American dream have the ability to come back and live it. And we take care of them. So that's why
and
want to know.
The thing is that it is curable.
Yes.
That in many cases, there's some things, you know, things that, you know, that you would do ordinarily anyway, you know, like exercise and just being able to talk to somebody else that's in the same you know, time frame, or, you know, in a group to talk to, and it can solve a lot of these problems.
Yeah, there, but a lot of times it has to do with, you know, ability to sleep, ability to relax.
Yeah.
Flashbacks when the car screeches, things. The support groups are out there, and the most critical element, and I've been going to a lot of different seminars on this. The most critical element, and this is where Reading can really help because your community, the most critical element is support groups.
Yeah.
It's other veterans. It's other professional help. It's just having people aware that somebody's dealing with it, and when they get a little agitated, people are willing to, you know, touch somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, we care. We understand. That's the most important thing, people caring.
I've been diagnosed with it, and there's times that things get kind of tough. I usually handle it by beating Bob here on the side of the head, but you're absolutely right. There are ways to handle it, and the big thing though is to face the fact that you have it, and then get the help for it. And trust me, everybody, and it's not just military. There's so many other people that also suffer from post-traumatic stress. I mean, a bad car wreck, a terrible incident in your life. Where, you know, now, and when you get to a stoplight, you know, you immediately freeze up. I mean, these are things that's not just for combat veterans.
And, that's exactly right.
And it's not a disease. It's not something that, you know, oh, my God, they've got post-traumatic stress, you know, should we even be working with them? You know, that kind of stuff. It's not like that. And, we that has to be made clear.
You know, that's another thing gets me about people talking about veterans. You know, they're not the ones that are in a home. I was giving a talk to people the other day. Veterans have, as a population, have 10% more veterans have higher education than the civilian population. And if you look at the economics of veterans, you look at the state income for a family that is made up of non-veterans versus a family that is a veteran, household income is higher for veterans by $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
So veterans aren't these, you know, people who... you know, need to be felt sorry for. You know, they're the best and the brightest that came out of our high schools. I mean, you had to be physically fit to go in the military. You had to pass a GED. You had to have a high school education. You had to take
a test
to get in.
Yeah,
it's not an easy thing to get in the military.
No, from what I understand, it's like 90% of the military has high school degrees, if not a little bit more, compared to something like 75% on the outside. You're right about the physically being able to be physically fit, and which is one of our problems, as I'm sure you've seen and I've seen, is in the future is that pool of available personnel is shrinking, not because they don't want to go, it's because they can't meet the physical standards.
That's exactly right. There was a cartoon in the Sunday this week on Doonesbury showing that.
Yeah.
A guy coming in, his little guy wanted to be a ranger, and he was about 200 pounds overweight. So veterans, to go in the military means you're the top of your year group coming up. And so these are great people that can really, as I tell people, if you look at the economic situation we're in, we went through a depression, World War II. Who rebuilt the economy in the 50s were the veterans.
Yeah.
And now we're coming out of a depression again. Who's going to rebuild the economy are going to be the veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's right.
So hey, those are the future leaders of our economics.
Oh, economics in our country, I hope. Hey, we got to take a break here, Rocky. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's clearly News Talk Radio.
Timberline Heating and
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. You know, you just go to our website, Free Fire Radio, and you get to hear an archive of every one of our shows. The temperature is 74 degrees, and it's still climbing. I'm sorry, 78 degrees, and it's climbing. It's going to be 98 today, sunny and hot, with north-northwest winds. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. You know, you go up there, and it's a little bit higher. It's up there around close to Shingletown, so you know the temperature's better, and they've got great ambiance, great food. It's a great destination. Our guest today is Rocky Chavez, who is the Undersecretary for California Veterans Affairs. Rocky, one of the things you wanted to talk about was some programs you have for the economy.
Yes, the home loan program. Yesterday, we signed our bond covenants. We have a program called the CalVet Home Loan Program. If you go to our website, CalVet, you can see in there that the qualified veterans mortgage bonds are set about 5.95%, and you can get a home for up to $521,000 a loan. But because we were able to get a bill passed called AB 2651 by Assemblymember Knight, which separates our CalVet loan program from the state fiscal issue, basically means our bond rating right now is double A. And since we're double A, we're going to have a lower interest rate, which is going to drop our 5.95, hopefully about a half a point. So if you're interested in getting the CalVet loan in the fives, we're going to have a great product here for you in a few months. A lot of people also don't know that the CalVet loan program has the best insurance program in the nation. When you have a CalVet loan, if your house is burnt down or anything happens to it, or flood or whatever, the CalVet loan pays for the entire recovery cost. So if you had a home, let's say at $300,000, then it was destroyed and it took $400,000 to recover, we build the entire home up to its $400,000. In addition, we put you in temporary quarters and pay for that.
Now, is that part of what you pay for it, or is that something the state provides, or is this insurance that you have to buy?
This is actually part of the loan, the agreement that you have with the CalVet loan. So it's part of your part of that interest rate that you pay. So it has nothing to do with the state. It has to do with the CalVet loan. And the CalVet loan bond program has been around since 1943. It's never lost a penny. It's all funded by veterans. Basically, we buy the property, and veterans pay into it, and then they get it back. Even with the depression we went through, with all the the people in double digits having the houses foreclosed, the CalVet loan program foreclosure rate was only 1.4%.
Okay, yeah, and this is one of the ones that they were talking about not funding, and like you say, it has a very, very low rate for people just walking away or unable to make their payments.
And that's because we work with you. In fact, I just did it this week. If you're out there, let's say, and you have a CalVet loan program, and maybe somebody's lost a job and you need to have a little recovery, we'll renegotiate your loan and kick it out farther so we can lower those payments. We're not in the interest of foreclosing on homes. We're in the interest of taking care of veterans, ensure veterans have a house to live in. So we have a different desire than a bank, which is there to make money. We're not in to make money. We're just in to take care of the veteran.
So if a veteran has had financial problems before, and is this some place he could still come to talk to about getting his home mortgage?
That's exactly right, because a lot of times, if let's say your credit rating, you know, is not in the 700s, 800s, and it's real tough, you're going to have to pay a higher interest rate. If you have a lower credit rating, or let's say you're a young person, just got out of the military, and you want to get a home, those are the people that we take care of.
Okay. Well,
and great program. One of the best things going for veterans in the state of California.
Okay, we've got just a few minutes left here, Rocky. And so, what's the big closer here that you have for our veterans?
Well, you know, I think the big closer that I'd like to let you know out there in Reading is that the home is coming up there. It's going to be one of the best in the state. It's going to be 150 beds. It's going to have, unlike some of our other homes, it's going to take care of Alzheimer's and dementia. And as you know, as we live longer, that's more of an issue. And it's going to be a great facility. And so as we start building that home up, we're asking for there's already up there, but we're raising funds for a nonprofit, because there's always little things, incidentals. We like to make the home the best home it can be. So looking for any businesses or people to be part of partners as we invest the $88 million into Reading to put this veteran homes up there.
And if I understand right, the contractor has to have veteran-owned businesses as part of their as part of the people that do the subcontracting. Is that right?
That's right. We'd like to support our veterans, so that's another one of the components when they bid on the project.
So
it's going to be a great facility.
If somebody was a veteran and had a small business that wanted to work on this, how do they go through this?
You know the. I wish I would have had that right here. But anyway, we have a contract with somebody who's letting it.
Right.
You'd have to go to our website, and I'm sure we can tag it across to them.
Okay.
Or send me an email. Send me an email
Rocky.Chavez@cdva.ca.gov,
and I can put them in place with the right people.
Okay, because I know that some people have asked that. You know, they're veteran-owned business. Some of them are even disabled veterans, and they were wondering who they would talk to. So you are the man.
I'm the man. Send it to me, and I'll put you in touch with the right people.
You know, we really appreciate you coming on today, Rocky. It's a lot of information out there. What we're finding is not that there are programs and people that aren't out there to help our veterans. The difficult thing is getting the word out to the veterans, especially our younger ones. You know, the older ones have gotten into groups. They kind of congregate at various times through VFW and Order of Purple Heart and Old Guard Riders and all these. I mean, just we've got like 40 or 50 different veterans organizations up here in Shasta County. I think, though, what the big challenge is going to be is getting our younger veterans, identifying them and pulling them into the fold.
Yeah, but they'll do that. As we know, the veterans are great American citizens. And one thing about a veteran, because you learned it in the military, they're very disciplined. They're entrepreneurs, they're risk takers, they're going to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
But I got to ask you a question.
Okay.
Free Fire Radio, where'd the name come?
Oh, you've been in the Marines long enough to know what a free fire zone is.
That's what I was just going to test on. Is this a free fire zone we're in then?
That's right. It's open line radio. Anybody that has anything to say, they call. They fire into it. But, the only thing is sometimes you have to worry about fire coming back out.
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd ask that question.
Oh, yeah, in recon teams, you put in little safe areas around there, but that doesn't work.
Well, I'm an artillery officer, so, these free fire zones are kind of tough.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We like to control the battlefield.
Yeah, a lot of danger close around here sometimes. Hey, Rocky, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, no problem. I love talking to you, and love to be back.
Okay, we'll have you back on. If you have anything that's coming down the road, you have our phone number now, and feel free to call anytime.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Rocky, thank you so much.
Bye.
Hey, we got to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:57 in the morning. We're getting ready to blow out of here and let you listen to Dennis Miller after that. You know, it's not quite as much fun as us. Hey, tomorrow, we've been talking about those marijuana wars. We've been talking about what's going up in Trinity County. Well, tomorrow at 8 o'clock, our guest is Roger Yeagle, who is a county supervisor from Trinity County. He's got Hay Fork in his district, and he's more than ready to tell you what's going on. Also, James Fossen, who is now our correspondent to the city council. That's right. He goes there and spends all evening, and he's going to give us a quick brief of what happened on the night before in that city council. And then Dr. Nancy Eklund, Dancing with the Stars. Dr. Nancy's in here. You know, anybody that dances with the stars, North County style, Shasta County style, has got my admiration. Because, you know, not only do they have work to do during the day, then they go out in the evening a couple hours a week, and they dance. And they learn to dance. I mean, they learn to dance these, you know, the Paso Robles. Is that, I don't know if that's the name of it. Maybe it's Paso Fino. Well, that's a horse. But it's Paso something. And they learn how to do these different dances. And then they come out in front of 883 people at the Cascade Theater. And they dance in front of these people. Now, you don't think that that takes a lot of guts. And they do it for such a good cause. I mean, this isn't doing it just for them. They're doing it to raise money for the Shasta Women's Shelter there. And, you know, and they do that. And they have fundraisers. And they're having fundraisers all over the place. Anyway, but we wanted you to meet every one of these people that are participating. So we're trying to get them all in here before the July 10th. Now, on June 1st, down at Tobacco and Brew, July 1st at Tobacco and Brew, there's going to be a barbecue from 6 to 8. Tobacco and Brew has offered up their area out there in the back. They have a large parking lot for our veterans. And, you know, this is a no-charge type thing. It's, you know, it's a group of veterans getting together. It's being hosted by Tobacco and Brew, the Patriot Guard Riders, Missing in America Project, the Old Guard Riders. So come on out and visit your friends, visit your brothers out there from 6 to 8 on Thursday, July 1st. You know, later on this week, we're going to have a lot of interesting people, too. Siskiyou County on Friday is coming down. And you're saying, well, Siskiyou County, that's a little bit far away. It's the water wars. We've got a gentleman by the name of Mark Baird. He's going to be talking about it. He's been writing about it. He's going to talk about what's going on up in Siskiyou County, because I tell you, what's going on up there can affect us. The water wars, that's going to be on Friday. We've just got a full week of things that are happening here in the city, in the county. Tomorrow we're going to be talking again about what happened to the city council and talking about what's going on up in Trinity County. A lot of people just think it's, you know, let people grow six or seven plants or one or two plants in their backyard or in their plant, you know, in their little garden there. It's not like that, my friends. It's a war. And we've got to be ready to see what has to be done about that and support our neighbors in Trinity County and support our neighbors here in Shasta County. So, hey, today's going to be 98 degrees, and it's already 78. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Hey, Linda, I miss you. I hope you get better today. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.